أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is the third part of five parts on it, lessons on Islamic belief. This is prophethood, Nabuwa. The lessons were extracted from the book Lessons on Islamic Belief by Dr. Muhammad Ali Smalley. Alhamdulillah, he had given me the permission to give these lessons, extract them from his book. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. These classes have been extracted from the book Lessons on Islamic Belief by Dr. Muhammad Ali Shamali. These lessons here are a brief overview of this book, and I highly recommend it, getting this book for additional information. This book I personally will be getting again from each of my children, and I believe that these aspects of our religion are crucial and fundamental to their beliefs and education. If anyone is interested, I will provide a link at the end of this series on more in-depth discussion on this book by Dr. Muhammad Shamali, which is found on YouTube. Muslims believe that by virtue of God's divine wisdom and justice, it's only befitting for Him to send guidance for mankind in the form of prophets. Abrahamic religion throughout history believed that there had been people appointed by God with divine message for humans. Christianity, however, differ as they believe God decided to reveal Himself by sending His own Son. They don't believe Jesus to be a prophet, but received the revelation. According to them, Jesus Himself was a revelation, and the Word was made flesh. This was in the Bible, John 1:14. The reason to have prophets is that even though humans have reason, this is very important, and we are honored with this, which is the reason we can go above animals. But it has its own place alongside prophets. Prophets were sent to complete and support what man's good reason pointed him towards. Prophets are external reason, and reason is not an internal prophet. It is but an internal prophet. There are many movements throughout history that attacked many people. Example of a more modern time is there are science and disciplines such as psychology, which is heavily relied on today. It cannot help solve disagreements and doubt when the psychologists themselves disagree in the very definition, methodology, and subject matter of psychology. Since the 16th, they have tried to blame behavioral psychology on everything. They are in constant process and self-correction, as this mostly is involved in human reason. We cannot say that these things give us an undefined message or save us from going astray. Contemplate on the development world, we see that there is a constant change in legislation, opinions, scientific theories, and even religions themselves. If everything was left to human experience and trial and error, there is no time to learn from them all. This is our only life, that we must live it in the best we can, so we cannot take such risks. We believe that God created us for a purpose, so to leave us at that risk, leaving us to our own vices and our own trials and errors, does not seem fitting, as Allah is concerned about all of us, every single human being, and we are important to Him, not just the evolution of society as a whole. Allah has guided everything, and when it comes to humans, He is giving them an extra guidance, the form of external guides of or prophets, the point of which is not to replace our reason, but to support and supplement it. We can see in Surah 20, Ayat 50, our Lord is He who gave everything its creation and then guided it. There is also Surah 87, and that is Ayah 2 to 3. Who created and proportioned, who determined and guided. Duties of the Prophets, which we will categorize. 1. To activate and revive people's intellect. They have been sent to remind people of what they are capable of understanding with their own reason. Quran. They will say, "Yes, a warner did come to us, what we impugned, and said God did not send down anything. You are only in great error." And they will say, "Had we listened or applied reason, we would not have been among the inmates of the blaze." Surah 67, Ayat 9. Number 2. To teach us many things that we would not have been able to deduce with a reason, but that are essential for our growth and salvation. Example, types of worship that are fruitful for the external life, awareness above heaven and hell and the afterlife. And the consequences of our actions are what motivates people to act and worship or to keep away from the prohibited things. Number 3. To exemplify what they say in their own lives and being a living example all that they preach. The prophets were tasked to practice what they preach and invited people to goodness through their own actions and conducts. This is why in Shia Islam we believe in infallibility of the prophets. Number 4. To remind us of the blessings of God in our lives that people often take for granted. Prophets were sent to people, to my people, what they have forgotten, especially ordering them to maintain their covenant that they had made with God prior to entering this world. God sent 124,000 prophets to all nations, so that every group of people in every corner of the earth would not be left without guidance out of His divine justice and wisdom. Quran and Hadith have divine revelation is benefited from by both man and jinn. However, the jinn did not have their own prophets, but followed the human prophets. They enjoyed freedom and free will just like us and received further guidance just like us. They are created to serve as well. Quran in Surah 59, Ayat 56, "I did not create the jinn and the humans except that they may worship me." As a Muslim, one must believe first that God sent prophets throughout history, and secondly, one needs to believe specifically that the last prophet with the revelation for our time was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We confirm the prophethood of all the prophets and do not discriminate against any of them. God provides His prophets with some clear signs and proofs in order for people to be certain that they are true messengers and distinguish them from false claims. The clear proofs vary from time and age and understanding of people. Example, of the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, people considered magic to be the highest skilled achievable by men. Magicians were highly respected. Prophet Musa alayhi salam came with the miracle far greater than the magicians could do. The magicians were the first to believe and declared that Musa alayhi salam was a divine prophet, with the experts in the field, and admitted that these were feats that no human could perform. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, although he came with the miracles such as splitting the moon, the most important miracle that he came with was the Quran. At this time of coming, rhetoric, prose, and poetry were skills and advances highly respected at the time. Arabs were at the peak of eloquence, were the first to admit that the Quran verses were divine words. It could not have been composed by any human. in history, there was no record that the prophets had studied under anyone or have been schooled to the level of literacy, so the Arabs could not claim that he had composed these verses himself. The miracle of the Quran lies in that it is the living miracle, and that God has promised to preserve it and protect it until the end of time. The definition of miracle is an extraordinary act that is not explicitable by nature or scientific law, performed by someone who claims to be a prophet, that is accompanied by a challenge. A true miracle cannot be performed by imam or impious people or regular people. Extraordinary acts at their hands are technically termed karama or divine grace, not miracles. We believe that the prophets, such as infallibles, must be infallible, as our Sunni brothers and sisters believe only partially infallible. They believe that they were infallible when it came to revelation, however otherwise they had committed wrong acts and sins sometimes. Asharites believe that the prophets did not commit intentional sins, however they are prone to committing sins unintentionally. Mu'tazilites believed that they weren't available when it came to major sins intentionally or unintentionally, but that they had committed minor sins even intentionally. Shia understand, however, is different than that of those of other sects. Allama Hilli, one of the greatest scholars, say, "Truly the prophets are infallible from the beginning of their lives till the end, because the hearts of people do not incline to or believe in someone whom they have previously seen to commit a sin or harmful acts." Infallibility of prophets can be studied in two stages. The first stage, sins before they become prophets. If you think about it, if the prophet has sinned all the way up until he had become a prophet, and then he tried to claim that he was a prophet and a new person, that would not sin again, no one would have taken him seriously. One of the main reasons why people believe that the prophet was because he lived his life as an honest and trustworthy man. This was his reputation. Even some had bore witness that the prophet was different from them, and that he had been special, trustworthy, honest man, even though they had their issues believing the message. Even if people were to trust the person who had committed sins, it is impossible to suddenly change and become a prophet who needed to have led a pious life. Number two, sins after prophethood. If the prophet had not been infallible, he would not have been able to receive direct communication from God, because then he himself disobeys God and does not observe his laws. The whole point of sending a message is lost and undetermined if the messenger himself is not committed. If one is teaching to be sinless, that person needs to be sinless themselves, as they taught what they did. Khawaj Nasir al-Din Tusi, infallibility is when the servant is able to perform sins, but he does not wish to do so at all, and this lack of will or the existence of something that prevents him from that is the divine grace for him. So he does not disobey God, not because he is unable to do so, but because he does not have failed to do so, or because there is something that overrides his will. Thus, considering his power and free will, it is possible for him to perform sins, but considering his lack of will or the existence of overriding obstacles, it is impossible. In the above, we can see that the prophets were human beings, and they were so pious that sinning did not appeal to them. Their love and awe for God were such that they could not even allow themselves to be neglecting of him. We can see that even ourselves are immune to certain things as we see disgusting in them, like, for example, walking the streets naked, or drinking blood, or killing one's own child, we can understand the baseness of such sins. This is how the prophets see all sins. They see it with a kind of disgust. In conclusion, we will discuss the seal of the prophethood. We will understand God's plan for human beings out of his wisdom, has a plan for perfection for human beings to give us the maximum opportunities and possibilities in this world. God has given us all opportunities, tools, and external support necessary for our perfection. One of those external supports are in the forms of divine guidance through prophets. We also have our internal facilities too. This includes the reason, conscience, infinite capability of knowledge, and a desire to achieve good things. It makes sense that one day prophethood would no longer be needed as a human being would reach the maturity designed for him and befitting him. Or he would now come to an age to understand concepts, generals, and particulars and is able to make a full use of the resources at his disposal without needing further newer resources. Thus, we are able to reduce rationally that the process must come to an end at some point, and this is why God sent the last message, and God protects it. It was only in the time of the Prophet of Islam that the miracle given to him was something related to human intellect and understanding, a book. The challenge today, more than protecting the Quran, is understanding it. The challenge has continued to keep us devoted as we question ourselves whether we understand its full capacity as it was meant to be understood. Is there a need for a new book or a new legislation? The answer is no. We already have it, and it continues to please us, guide us, teach us, and to amaze us, and is as fresh today as it was 1400 years ago. Is there a need for a new prophet to come down after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to teach Quran or not? There is no need for a new prophet. They were there to supplement and fill in gaps that were missing in the message. Parts of the books have been missed and was lost or misunderstood, so the prophets came to restore and fill in the original. But us, the message is still the same, preserved as it came down. However, keeping in mind that the only thing we need after the prophet is teaching us and explaining to us the true teachings and meanings of Quran, to help us understand it further, and we need role models who live the way God wants us to live. This leads us to the next section, which is imamate. So I will end the lesson today. Inshallah, I will do the next lesson and upload it. Do make a special dua for the return and Hasan reappearance of Imam Zaman. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.